hope you enjoy listening to this weekly podcast from Lifeline Church. You can find out more and discover our other podcasts by searching for Lifeline Church, visiting lifelinechurch.co.uk, or by taking a look at our YouTube channel, Lifeline Church Dagenham.
Right, so I've tried to make this morning as accessible as possible for the children, of which there are loads of you, which is fantastic. We've been doing some messages, particularly with the children in mind. And you might be thinking, okay, I'm an adult, so what does this mean for me? Do I just need to grin and bear? Well, Jesus tells us to become like little children. And Jesus, he thought children were pretty important. So we're looking at a book in the Bible called Mark. I want to talk about, what's that on the screen? What is that? Anyone know what that is? You can shout it out. Magnet. Right. So when Neil shared about eclipses and stuff, it just reminded me that I'm not a physics teacher. And actually, Neil, when I was much younger, helped me pass the one physics exam I had to. So I have Neil to thank for a lot. But physics is not my strong point, okay? But I've got some magnets with me. So if you are scientifically minded, just bear with me, yeah? Because this isn't a science lesson. But kids, what do magnets do? Yep, so they can stick to other magnets. So things, different metals, they stick to magnets. But sometimes magnets, they push other magnets away. So magnets pull certain things towards them, and sometimes magnets, they repel each other. They push others away. Same magnet, same trains, different response. But I want to think, why do some things come close and why do others push away? Why do they move away? And this is kind of like part one. Me and Jamie, in a couple of weeks, we're going to do part two of this. We're going to think about Jesus and how people respond to Jesus. Because some people in the Bible are really attracted to Jesus. They're like the magnets, they stick together. Some people, they're like repelled, like they push away, they run away from Jesus. It's the same Jesus, but very different responses. So that's what I want to think about, okay? And I think this is appropriate for us, because we have a choice every day. Kids, adults, we have a choice. Will we come closer to Jesus or will we go further away? It's quite hard to just stay in the same position. Everything we're doing, we're either coming closer to him or we're going further away. So I'm going to read a short story. It's a pretty simple story. It's from Mark 3, verses 13 to 19. So Jesus chooses his 12 apostles. Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He chose 12 of them to be his apostles, so they could be with him, and so he could send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. We were just singing a song. We were saying, in the name of Jesus, demons flee. So it's got something to do with that. So who were they? You got Simon, and Jesus gave him a new name, which was Peter. There was James and John, the two sons of Zebedee. And Jesus gave them a nickname, Sons of Thunder. There was Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who later betrayed Jesus. So that's the story. That's what we're looking at today. It's pretty simple, but it's about Jesus picking his 12 closest followers. So these guys, they're going to be very close with him over the next few years. They're going to go everywhere with him. And like I say, it's quite a simple story, but for me, it raises some big questions. Remember the magnets? Yeah? We're thinking, why are some people attracted and why are some people repelled? Today, we're going to think, what attracted them to Jesus? So I kind of got three questions. Why were they attracted to Jesus? What did Jesus want from them? And who actually were they, and did they get along? So that's what we're going to do. So what attracted these apostles to Jesus? The very first verse of this story says, he called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. I want you to think about that. They came to him. Jesus called them, he wanted them, but they had a choice. They weren't forced to follow him, but they chose to come. I wonder why. Anyone got any idea why? Why do you think they came to him? Ever think about that? Do you think it was because they were the strongest? No? Okay. Do you think it's because they were the cleverest? No? Do you think it's because they were just like perfect? They had everything sorted out, everything was good, and no? Okay. So what was it then? They realized that they needed Jesus. And if anyone remembers what Jamie shared a couple of weeks back, he spoke about what we need to be a friend of Jesus. We don't need to be clever. We don't need to be good. We don't need to be funny. We don't need to be attractive. But we need to need him. And that's what they realized. They realized they needed Jesus. And the apostles, they realized that they needed something much bigger. They knew they'd done wrong, and they knew that they couldn't save themselves. And they recognized that Jesus had come to save them. And if someone comes to save you, that's good news if you know that you need to be saved. The people that are most drawn to Jesus aren't usually the perfect ones. The ones that think they've got everything sorted, they're the people who know that they need him. So what did Jesus want from them? That's what drew them to him. What did Jesus want from them? Does anyone think, what was Jesus' first job for the disciples, for the apostles? It says it in the story. What do you think the first job that he had for them was? Can anyone remember? Do you think it was to tell people about God? Maybe. Do miracles? No. Help people? All those things are important. That's what he wants them to do. But first and foremost, he just wants them to be with him. That's what it says. It says he called them so they could be with him. Imagine your favorite person in the whole world. Could be maybe a superhero. Could be a footballer. Do you know what? Chat with the person next to you. Who's your favorite person in the whole world? Okay. Someone said to me that Lewis Hamilton is their favorite person in the whole world. That's not a bad choice. So imagine if Lewis Hamilton said, I don't need you to do anything. I don't need you to do anything for me. I just want you to come and spend time with me. That'd feel pretty special, wouldn't it? And that's what Jesus was saying to his followers. And that's always been God's heart, that he just wants us to be with him. From the very beginning of the Bible, that's what God's wanted us to know. And the whole story is about God bringing us back into relationship with him. And it's important that we tell people what Jesus is like and do things to help people. But first and foremost, Jesus wants us to be with him before we do anything. He wants to spend time with us. And it made me think, what happens when you spend time with someone or something? So this is a picture I took a couple of weeks ago of Remy. Remy was eating an ice cream. It was a moment of weakness from me. I was bringing her back from nursery. The ice cream van was parked right outside my house. You know, it happens. So think, how did you know she'd been eating ice cream? What makes us think that maybe she's eating ice cream? Where is it? It's all over her face, isn't it? All over her face. When Remy eats ice cream, it leaves a mark on her face, on her clothes, on my clothes, on the bench she was sitting on. It gets everywhere. The things that we spend time with, the people that we spend time with, they leave their mark on us. When we're simply with Jesus, he starts to change us. He leaves his mark on us. People start to see things like kindness and forgiveness and patience. So these are the things that the Holy Spirit starts to grow in us as we spend time with Jesus. And that's exactly what happened with these 12. He calls them his apostles, which basically means they become the people that he sends out. But after spending time with him first and foremost, then they go and tell other people what he's like. So, my final point. Who were they? And did they get along? Now, the Bible tells us a lot about some of them, but for others, we just kind of know their names. So we're not going to look at all 12, because some, like I say, literally we only know their names. I'm going to look at a few. So, here they are. So you've got Peter. Peter was a fisherman, right? Quite an ordinary person doing a skilled job, but an ordinary job. Someone that many people, you might not think that they're the, like I say, they're not the cleverest, not the strongest, anything like that. And Peter, he was full of energy. He had a lot of energy. Sometimes he acted before he thought. He spoke before he listened. And he made some big mistakes while he was following Jesus. And we'll go on to look at some of them in as time goes by. But at the end of Jesus' life, he denies that he even knows Jesus. He's like, no, I don't know him. 3 times. He made mistakes. But Jesus didn't give up on him. Being with Jesus changes Peter. This same person who makes some really big mistakes becomes one of the main leaders of the church. So that's Peter. Then we have James and John. And like I said, he gave them the nickname, the Sons of Thunder. Imagine that. Jesus giving you a nickname. Never think in your head, what nickname do you think he'd give you? Now, the Bible doesn't specifically tell us why he nicknames them the Sons of Thunder. But I wonder if their personalities were quite thunderous, you know, that again, sometimes they were ready to act and jump up in a way that maybe made Jesus think, yeah, I'm going to call you guys the Sons of Thunder. But what I love about that, it shows Jesus knew them. He knew them personally. He knew what they were like. And they made mistakes too. But again, they spend time with Jesus and he changes them. And John, he later goes on to write some of the books of the Bible, including, believe it or not, the book of John. All right, now the last two that I want to look at. You've got Matthew, and you've got Simon the Zealot. Now, if we look at these guys, they all look kind of similar, don't you think? None of them look particularly different, you know. Some got more hair than others, some maybe look a little bit older, some a little bit younger, but they look similar, right? And if you see Matthew and Simon, there's nothing in the way that they look that makes you think, okay, they're very different. But they couldn't have been more different, these two, right? In fact, before Jesus brings them together, they would never have chosen to be friends. So Matthew, at the top, he was a tax collector. And Jamie spoke a little bit about him. Does anyone remember? So tax collectors, they were very unpopular at the time that this story was written. Because they worked for the Romans. Now, the Romans have come and taken over the Jews, the people of Israel. They're in charge. They're like implementing their very, very forceful rules. And Matthew is like betrayed his people to work for the Romans, to collect money, and sometimes even probably take money for himself. So you've got Matthew. He's working for the Romans. Then you got Simon. It says Simon was a zealot. That's probably not a word that you've come across. But a zealot who was someone was so passionate about getting rid of the Romans, trying to destroy their rule, that they might even use force. You know, they would even fight to defeat these Romans. They wanted Israel. They wanted the Jews to be free. And they would fight if they needed to. So Simon would have wanted people like Matthew totally gone. They were on totally opposite sides. Like I said, if they met before Jesus, they wouldn't have even spoken. But Jesus brought them together. Why? He became bigger than their differences. And when Jesus is at the center, people who are very different, people who may fundamentally disagree with each other, become family. I'm going to quickly think about Judas, the last one. Because it says that Judas betrayed Jesus. So for those that don't know, at the end of the story of Jesus' life, before he is arrested and killed on the cross, Judas basically hands him over to the people that are going to crucify him. He betrays him. And you think, did Jesus make a mistake when he picked Judas? He knew Judas's weaknesses. He knew his struggles. He knew that Judas would one day betray him. And yet he still invited him. Gave him a place amongst the 12. And I read a little story that I thought summed this up quite well for me. It says, someone once asked a theologian, that's like a professor, someone who really knows the Bible well, why did Jesus choose Judas to be one of his apostles? And the theologian replied, he said, I don't know. But I have an even harder question. Why did Jesus choose me? Because Jesus doesn't choose people who are perfect. Remember, we already said that. He chooses people because he loves him. And we have an opportunity to put him in charge, to recognize that he is king. But often, I'm speaking for myself, I make decisions that say to Jesus, you're not in charge, I am. I lose my patience. I'm not always quick to forgive. I'm not always generous. He knows who we are. He knows our weaknesses, and yet he still invites us to follow him. He doesn't choose perfect people. He chooses people who are willing to follow him. So as I finish now, my question for all of us, remember the magnets. Are we being drawn closer to Jesus? Because he's inviting us close. Not because of how good we are, not because of anything we've done, not because we're perfect, but because he loves us. The apostles, they were drawn towards him. They knew they needed him. And that same Jesus is inviting you and me close today. Like I said, as I was preparing this, I was like, yeah. Then I just felt God say to me, Nick, I want you close. Will you come close to me? He's inviting us all to come close to him. Would anyone like to come a bit closer to Jesus today? Yeah, you can put your hand up or you can give me like a little wink or, yeah. What I'm going to do, I'm going to pray for us and then I'm going to hand over to Neil. Because we can be very confident if we want to come close to Jesus, that he will come close to us. Thank you, Lord God. Lord, thank you that you choose us like you chose those 12 apostles to come and be with you. Thank you that we don't have to be perfect, that we don't have to be the best at anything, that we just have to say yes. And thank you, Lord, for your promise that when we come close to you, you will come close to us. I ask that we would know you close to us. When we're at home, when we're losing our patience, when we're having an argument with our brother or sister, when we're at school, and maybe we feel a bit left out. Lord, that we would know you close to us and that that would change us. That we would know your joy, your peace, your love. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Thanks, Nick. That was really great. So there's an invitation to be a friend of God, and for those of us that know that we're a friend of God, to know that the primary reason he's chosen you is to be with him. And so there's an encouragement there for each of us to draw close.
Thank you for listening to this podcast by Lifeline Church. We hope this message has been an encouragement to you. We are a relational church who live to demonstrate God's love to one another and our surrounding community in real and practical ways. We believe that this love can restore our families, our friendships, our communities, and our nation. We'd love to connect further with you, so please visit our website, lifelinechurch.co.uk, or interact with us on Facebook at lifeline.church.uk.